Would you please take your Bible in hand and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 18. Once you have found that, if you're able to stand with me, let's stand together. We open together the Word of God. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 18 through verse 24. Listen carefully. This is the word of the Lord. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. May the Spirit of God open this portion of the Word of God to us and bless us as a result. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, when sin entered the human race through Adam, it wreaked havoc in man's relationship with you and in man's relationship with their fellow men. And it has done great harm to the covenant of marriage. And Lord, it's your Spirit who has brought us this text this morning, that there might be peace and love and harmony in marriage. And yet also the very spirit of this text we'll see in the next couple Sundays, that at the very heart and core of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that's what might be expressed today and might be seen and understood, that this is a call to an intimate love and walk with Jesus. Grant us that grace. In his name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes, whether it be in a counseling session or in the minister makes his way toward this particular passage, the men in the congregation see that. And this is what we're going to look at, verses 22 through 4. Wow, we're there. This is the passage for my wife, and this is great. I've been looking forward to hearing this, and I sure hope she hears it as well. You know, brothers, there's a completely different way of looking at the passage. No, the Bible teaches submission. We looked at that last Lord's Day morning, but it's amazing how you get married, and if you're growing in Christ, all of a sudden your whole world turns upside down because God uses that special woman to show you how selfish and immature you are, and many other things as a blessing for your growth in grace, and God opens up the Word of God to show you what you're called to do. And ladies, this is a blessing, this passage, because this passage should drive you to your knees and to prayer and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the one that you are married to eternally. And if you're not married, you're married. You're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're married or not, you're called through this text and the following text to grow in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. For apart from him, ladies, you can't do what this is calling you to do. And man, you can't do what this lengthy passage for us is calling us to do. As one wise pastor wrote, a wife is more than a mother, housekeeper, cook, counselor, and chauffeur. She will not find the deep places of her heart satisfied with bowling, bridge, PTA meetings, or even church work. On the other hand, if her sole source of happiness lies in her husband or her children, she is also doomed to disappointment. God did not intend us to find satisfaction apart from himself. A wife who puts Jesus first will be a joy both to her Lord, small l, and he cites 1 Peter chapter 3, 6, and to her Lord, capital L. A radiant wife who once sought escape in intellectual pursuits recently disclosed her secret for finding fulfillment in life. Very simply, she said, it's doing what Jesus wants me to do. And ladies, that's what the text is about. That's undergirding the entire text. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his call to you, ladies of the congregation, married, all married to Jesus, and some of them married to a husband. It's to pursue Christ. The writer goes on and says he can even change the routine tasks that were once a drudgery into joy, speaking of Jesus. Quote, be rooted in Christ, not in your husband, then you are free to be a worthwhile person, a good wife. Jesus gives you the invitation to take your anxieties to the cross and leave the reforming of your husband in God's hands. I mean, we all know it. If you've been in Christ at any period of time, you realize it's most difficult to even make changes in my own life, let alone trying to make changes in my spouse's life or somebody else's life. Leave it to God. Let it drive you to your knees and drive you to Jesus constantly, you say. And that's not bad. That's what God wants. All trials, all challenges, all responsibilities are to humble us under our mighty God and to see that it's all by grace. And that's a blessing. The wife who is trusting God, he ends, is not nagging her husband. She's leaving her husband with the Lord. Now, here's a proposition statement. The godly woman is to follow the leadership of her husband. That's true. That's clear in Scripture. Helping him to take dominion over the earth through the spreading of the gospel in all of life. You see, it is a gospel-blessed marriage. It is a gospel relationship of husband and wife in Jesus Christ who is the center of that relationship in marriage. If he's not, then you're outside of that grace and you're walking in the flesh and you will run into all kinds of troubles. Remember the context here in Ephesians. Last week, Paul said, don't get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Let go. Trust in him. Essentially, be filled with Jesus Christ. In Colossians, be filled with the Word of God. Same word. Walk in this. We cannot do it, but if you are filled and yielded and given over to Jesus, he will call you to what? He will call you to sing praises and psalms. He'll call you to worship. He'll call you to be able to give thanks always for everything. And he means that. He'll call you to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And any man in this room who's walked in marriage for any period of time realizes that we're called to submit to our wives, her thoughts and ideas all over the place. And why do we do that? Because we're not leaders, we're not men, we're not taking the reins. No, because we love our wives. And we realize they bring something to this relationship that completes us, that fills us, that helps us, that blesses us. And so with delight, we say, you want to do that? I would love to do that. And yet, in terms of relationships, God has laid them out. You see them in chapter 5 and then in 6 of Ephesians here, God has called us to submit. All of us are called to submit to those authorities in this world that are placed over us, and it's for our good and for our blessing and for our protection. And so I want you to, first of all, look at the bigger picture. It's always good to do that, to step back instead of saying, okay, all right, I submit. All right. I said it to my husband. I said it out loud. You see, that if that's what's going on, you've missed it. You've missed the spirit of the text. So the bigger picture, we find it in Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. And you have it there. For sake of time, though, I just want to step on the principles or point out the principles here. We're created in the image of God. And it's for the glory of God that He has made us, and we reflect on a creaturely level the glory of God throughout earth, and how you live, everything you do, you see, is for Him. He's created you and given you the mandate to use your gifts and your time and everything for Him, but to rule and to cultivate and to develop the earth, to be fruitful and to multiply. And Adam was alone, and God brought Eve to him, and Adam was delighted in this because now I've got someone who completes me, you see, who walks with me, and together we share our lives, and we continue in this duty God has called us to. But there's a painful reality that we all know, very personally, deep in our beings and in our culture and in our world, the reality of the fall. And so instead of marriage being some this intimate love relationship every single day, there can be conflicts and clashes and disagreements between husbands and wives. And there are people who divorce saying, I don't want to have anything to do with that person. And years before, I want to spend the rest of my life with that person. And that's because of sin. That's because of the fall. And so this whole idea, brothers and sisters, of taking dominion, it was thrown on its head at the fall. But Jesus, I believe, has redeemed the idea. And in the new covenant age, our focus now is the gospel. We can't take dominion without submission to Jesus Christ and without a life of gospel peace and gospel prosperity and gospel communication to those about us, and communicating that to our children and to one another, you see. My wife and I are sinners, and we have some strong disagreements. And it's the Lord Jesus who brings us together. It's the Lord Jesus who humbles us and enables us to say, forgive me, I said too much. I said it harshly. I was upset. And gives us the grace to say, of course I forgive you. And to be humbled by that and to grow through that, you see. Only the woman that is in loving submission to Christ will be able to obey Christ regarding her husband's leadership. Because, man, we're sinners. We're flawed. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the wisdom. Sometimes we are very much afraid of being called the head of the household and having to lead, knowing that the ultimate responsibility is upon us and not our wife. And ladies, we know that. And only by the grace of Christ will you be able to submit to a man who is a sinner and flawed and sometimes very arrogant and selfish. But it's because of Jesus, not because of your husband and his perfection. But brothers, that doesn't let us off the hook. We'll see what Paul says to us next week. And I want you to know this. Someone wrote this. I don't know who wrote it. I don't have a name here. Nothing can thwart God's sovereign purposes. Even when setbacks occur, they are only part of what the Lord will use to bring about His ultimate end. Struggles in life, struggles in marriage, conflicts around, yes, God has ordained them, and God is bringing you through them, and He's conforming you to the image of Jesus. So thank God that in the pain and suffering, maybe even in your marriage at times, He's making you more like the Lord Jesus. That's what we believe. We believe in the sovereignty of God over every aspect of life. Point number two, the godly woman's role, an example. We see it in Ephesians 5 here. Notice what the text says. It's very clear. It's very simple. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Notice, as to the Lord. See, he's undergirding the entire text. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that your eyes are upon, not your husband, because he can't live a perfect life before you. You can confess all his faults. You can make a long list of them. But that's not where your eyes should be. Your eyes should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's why you should submit to him. Because he's such a great guy and he deserves it. You see that? It's not there, is it? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, notice Jesus is here, is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Brothers, that's what we're called to do in a very unique sense. With that woman, we are called to save them in every way a finite creature can do that. Now, they're already saved. I'm not saying that in the ultimate sense, but in the sense of blessing and care and protection and provision and so on. We'll see that. It's hard for me not to get into that next message. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit, notice this now, in everything, to their husbands. And so you do so as unto the Lord. That's the subpoint. Submit to your husband as to the Lord. The text says submit to your husband in everything. But notice this. It's always in the Lord. And in Colossians 3:18, it says, as is fitting in the Lord. You are not to submit to your husband when he commands you, when he urges you, when he tries to lead you into evil or into sin, into open defiance of the gospel or of the word, the broader word of God. You are not to follow him into sin. That's not what he means. He means as he follows the Lord, you are to follow him and you are to submit to his leadership. Now, there may be disagreements, and in that submission, it doesn't mean that you just shut your mouth and grind your teeth and say, wow, this is the wrong way to go, but I'm being submissive, therefore I'm not going to say a word to him. That's what it says. No, it doesn't say that. If you're submitting, if you're responding to his leadership, then very humbly and gently and winsomely, you say, what do you think of this? And you give him your counsel, your wise counsel. And the wise man will humbly stop and listen and want to proceed with you, together with you, working things out. You see, you're a lot stronger together than you are alone. And so, ladies, it's not that you shouldn't speak. It's how you speak and when you speak. It takes wisdom on your part, and it shouldn't be done in such a manner that you're just disgusted with your husband's almost decision here, because the guy isn't very bright, and that's how you convey it. You see, that's not submission. You may disagree with the Lord Jesus himself, but how do you bring it to him in prayer? Gently, humbly, being willing to respond to his leadership. Wayne Mack writes on the subject of the family, and he says, the wife's submission to her husband then is to be extensive, but not necessarily total or unlimited. She is to obey him in everything except that which contradicts the word of God. And even then, she is to disobey in a loving, submissive fashion, explaining calmly and clearly her reasons for disobedience, assuring her husband of her love and loyalty, and seeking to demonstrate that love and loyalty in a variety of continuous and tangible ways. She is to be her husband's helper. And this she can never be if she manifests a contentious, inconsiderate, uncooperative spirit. Very wisely put. And in the process, and this isn't just in marriage, we're all called to submit to the civil government. Are you all happy with what's going on in Sacramento? Don't answer that question. You see, but we're called to submit into our federal government. There's all kinds of things going on. There are ungodly things going on that break our hearts. But God has placed that government over us, and He is sovereign. And as unto Jesus Christ, by His grace, I'm going to submit to that civil government. You see that? So these principles, we see even in the Trinity, this marvelous picture of Jesus Christ, not holding on to His rights, emptying Himself and taking on the form of a servant, submitting to His Heavenly Father, even unto death. And we see the sovereign Spirit of the Lord, co-eternal, co-equal with the Father and the Son, proceeding from the Father and the Son. And He, very humbly, oftentimes behind the scenes, unknown, carrying out that which brings glory to Jesus, revealing Jesus and bringing people to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and the Spirit does this, you see. It's amazing. And so even God shows this very clearly in the Trinity. Secondly, another statement in our text, point B, would be as the church to Christ. And I know when you first read that, if you're not thinking humbly and clearly that He's sovereign and Lord, wow. I mean, because I know the church. Are we supposed to question our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we supposed to try to get around Him and around His word somehow? Because we just don't think He has our best interest in mind. No. We would never say that. But my husband certainly is in Christ, says the woman. Well, that's for sure. In fact, I'm better than him in so many things. Is that false? No. It's probably very true. That's not bad for the marriage. That's a blessing. I'm a lot smarter than him. What do you do with that? Maybe the wife is a lot smarter than the husband in certain ways. He's not a good leader. He's not tuned into me. So these are my exceptions, and so I'm going to get around this and make some wise decisions over here on the side because I got to care for my children. No. You submit to him as you submit to Jesus Christ. But what if my husband is spiritually a wimp? And that's a tough place to be. What if he's even unsaved? How can I submit to him as unto Christ? Well, you can't, apart from the grace of God. We can't submit to the federal government apart from the grace of God, from the heart, but by the grace of God. And so what the situation does, this tension here that I put out, what it does is it should drive us to the Lord, to our knees, the seeking of grace to do that which the Scripture is clearly telling us we ought to do. And you submit to Him by loving Him. You submit to Him by honoring Him, by respecting the position God's put Him in. Even though He doesn't carry out His duties very well, you still are to respect Him in that position. Just like we are to respect the President of the United States. We would disagree with a number of his ideas, but we need to respect that position that God has ordained. You need to trust in him because you're trusting in Jesus. You need to obey him, follow his word, respond to him, and be a great helper to him because you love the Lord Jesus so much. Notice the last part of verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's why. It's because of Jesus. It's not because of Him. It's not because you're so strong-willed you can just grit your teeth and you can carry it out. Because that's not the spirit of this text. It's all because of the Lord. And so let Jesus do the changing. It's not going to always be automatic. You see, there are women who are married to non-believers and they're called to submit in that context. And in that context, they're called to hopefully see them one even without a word. They're not to preach at their unsaved husband and act as if he's spiritually so out of it, you know, get with it, buddy. No, it's to be that gentle, quiet spirit. It's to be that humility in the woman that if God is pleased, and He is for some and others He's not, but if God is pleased, He will save that man. Point number three. Loving submission means a lot of positive things. See, it's not, I have to. You know, I've been called to submit to the elders of this church and to the teaching and ruling elders of Presbytery. The missions committee has worked hours and hours on a very serious situation, and the regional home missionary and your pastor have worked hours and hours on a very difficult situation, and we brought it to Presbytery yesterday, and we debated it. In fact, I wasn't even there the first hour of Presbytery on Friday. Debated for about an hour how to even proceed. And then yesterday, we started at 8:30 in the morning and worked to 2:30 on this, and the Presbytery could not come to a conclusion. So they turned around and they handed the whole thing back to us. I didn't want it. I wanted to, you know, kick the ball right back to them. But I'm called to submit to my brothers in the Lord and to listen to my brothers in the Lord. And you know what? I'm very grateful for that. Godly character is at the heart of this whole discussion. See, loving submission means a lot of positive things. First of all, godly character and a walk with Christ. The scriptures describe the godly women in many different places, in Titus 2, in 1 Peter 3, in Proverbs 31. And here are some of the descriptions of them. Loving, sensible, which means self-controlled, pure, kind, subject to her husband, Titus chapter 2. 1 Peter 3, I'm going to look at just a verse there in 1 Peter 3. The wife is to win her husband without a word by the conduct of the wife. Don't make your approach to life and your focus on life this outward adornment. But let it be, verse 4, your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality or beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now that gentle, quiet spirit is the willingness to submit and to respond to leadership. Gentle, quiet spirit doesn't mean that you're very soft-spoken and your personality is very, very quiet. You know, I've had women say to me, that's not my personality. How am I going to change my personality to become all of a sudden soft-spoken? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the inner quality of your spirit before God and your character, you see, the condition of your heart. That's what it's talking about. And then in Proverbs 31, it describes her husband trusting in her. It describes her as faithful, describes her as physically strong, walking with dignity and hope. It describes her as wise, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What do we see as you hear these qualities? What do you see in the world? You see the very opposite of that. Not an emphasis upon who I am in Christ and how I'm growing in Him. This godly woman who sets an example for her husband and children and family. This godly woman who is not married to a husband, married to Jesus, and sets a godly example in her calling where He has placed her, you see. It's for all godly women. All of these passages, these character qualities. And the world is just, What do you mean? At best, it's 50-50 in marriage. I'm not giving more than he gives. Why would I do that? I've got to look out for myself. I've got gifts. I've got intelligence. I'm smart and strong. I've got a career going on here. But that's the spirit of the world. The question is, ladies, what has God called you to do in this life? Your husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be forever. A second point, she has her priorities straight. She's focused. That's what this godly woman looks like. In Titus 2, a literal translation, and I think it's verse 4, it would be literally translated husband lovers and children lovers. You know, lovers of your husband. Well, literally, husband lovers, children lovers. Literally, home workers or workers at home. In 1 Timothy 5, 11 through 14, Paul shows the set of priorities for a woman who is married. It is her, obviously her Lord, and then it's her husband and her children in her home developing that place of dominion, that place of refuge where the husband and wife and family grow in Christ. It's kind of like a little picture of the church and a little picture of heaven. That's what it ought to be. If you read Proverbs 31, a lengthy passage on godly women, you see it starts out with her focus on her husband. It implies underlying all of it is her focus on her Lord. And then it talks about her children and her home. It doesn't leave her there, but she knows her priorities. Am I going to do something out here? Well, first of all, I want to talk to my husband about it because he's my first focus in Christ. And I want to see how this is going to impact my children and my home life. Does that mean she can't go outside the front door? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means she has a set of priorities and she makes sure that it's going well, it's going great at home, and that the home front is encouraging you to do whatever you're going to do over here. It's not, you're going to have to fend for yourselves. I got something to do over here, thank you. You know, I have to have some life. You see, all that she does outside of the home, she'd come back to bless her home and family. That's her spirit. That's her calling. It's not the spirit of, I'm going to do this regardless. It's for me. That's not the spirit of the woman of 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians 5. She has godly character and her priorities, she keeps them straight. And men, you know, we have priorities too. And we get them goofed up sometimes. We all struggle with this. Whether married or single, we can really get goofed up with the demands of life. But a third point, point C, her labors are many and they're varied. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just a summary. In Proverbs 31, you see the focus, the great focus on her home. You see the importance of her work, the food and clothing and godly example. She cares for her family. It also shows in 17 and in 22, she takes care of herself. Doesn't mean she denies herself and, you know, she takes care of herself physically, emotionally, spiritually. And next time we'll see that men, we have oversight over our wives, and we are to be very, very concerned about our wives, and how we help them in all these areas, that they might grow and develop into the godly woman God wants them to be. She works at home, and it appears, I mean, you can read it maybe in another way, but in verse 24 of Proverbs 31, she has a home business, and it's, she interacts with people outside of the home. She's a sharp gal. Somehow she does this without taking away from the time with her husband and her family. Talks about buying real estate and developing it and producing a vineyard. Wow. She has ministry in and through the church. And in and through the church, she cares for the poor and the needy. You see, a mercy ministry. She joins with the deacons in the church and says, how can I help? And guess where that ministry starts? It starts with the needy within the church. And I see this taking place all the time. Someone needs a meal, that meal's delivered. That's what this is about. That's the spirit of Proverbs 31. So in wrapping this up, how fruitful and valuable is this submissive woman? And why I put this question out to you is because the world thinks that this whole idea is so bad. What? Oh, you don't work outside the home? You don't work? I don't know how a woman can't respond to that by punching the person in the nose who says that to you. Now, I'm just kidding. My wife says never joke. They take you seriously, and you're just kidding, and they don't know it. Well, of course, ladies, don't punch them in the nose. But it really offends me when they say that about my wife. And so it's offensive that the world says, you're giving your life to a man? You're giving your life to a bunch of kids? What's wrong with you? Well, nothing. I'm doing this as unto Christ, out of reverence for Christ. And here's what the Bible says about you, ladies. In Proverbs 31:10, she's seen as very rare, as more valuable than jewels. More valuable than what the marketplace puts on you, a number of how much you earn, for example. That's the world. How sad is that? If that's your ultimate goal, and you think your value is based upon your paycheck. You know, you missed it. Paycheck's nice, but your value is in Christ. And the Bible says you're more valuable than jewels. Secondly, the Bible says in verse 23 of Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband trusts in her and she honors him. Oh, that's, ladies, you see, when a man understands that his wife is with him, and men need this. The next part of the passage in Ephesians doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. I think it's kind of implied. Wives do love their husbands. But the main focus is, wives, respect your husbands. And when a man really kind of senses that the wife isn't behind him in what he does, or maybe even thinks he's kind of a failure, it's crushing to the mind and heart and spirit of a man. We need that. We need that more than I love you. We need our wives to stand with us, you see. And the husband, this husband here in Proverbs, knows that, and he trusts her. And to trust someone, you got to give yourself to them. And so you see, so ladies, if you honor your husband, and he'll begin to open up and move towards you more and more, because he knows you're with him. I know we're running out of time here. I got home last night, and I'll tell you, my tank was empty, and I don't mean that my gas tank. And I spoke with my wife a little bit. I left her in the morning. I'd been gone all day Thursday in a series of meetings related to Presbytery. Drove back home from Westminster, got up the next day to go. And I just said, I'm sorry that I am, you know, I'm sorry you don't have a husband right now. And she was so kind. And you know, I got back last night and I thought she's going to go, oh, great. We didn't resolve it. And I'm in the middle of it. And she was so encouraging. And brothers and sisters, that helps me in a way I can't even express to you. But I know you men know. You know what I'm talking about. And then the passage goes on in verses 28 to 31. It says, her whole family gives testimony to how great she is. How blessed is that? Oh, what are you doing with that? You're just having a bunch of kids, yeah. And this person who is doesn't like that, look at this woman later on as you begin to see the pictures of grandchildren bouncing back and forth, and the blessings as the family is growing and flourishing. I mean, these blessings are rich and wonderful. Peter says, in fact, how important is her life? Well, it may be the tool in the hands of the Spirit with the gospel that will win her lost husband to a relationship with Christ. How important is that? There's nothing in the world that's more important than that. So some final thoughts, and I will conclude this morning. You see, ladies, my dear sisters, I know this is not easy. It's not easy for us to submit in all kinds of places in life, so I understand. But first of all, loving submission is the fruit of godliness. It's the fruit of a godly walk. It flows out of an intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I urge you, out of the love of Christ, walk with Jesus. Seek His face. Express your love for Him and your commitment to Him. Walk in the fear of Christ, the honor of Christ, in awe of Christ. You respond to your husband. Jesus will give you that grace. Jesus submitted to all kinds of things I showed you last Sunday. And so is it too hard for you to respond to the word of Jesus and respond to the leadership of your husband? In the flesh, it is. In Christ, it is not. You see, this walk with Christ produces a power and a wisdom and a purpose that come from the living Christ, the filling of Christ, the filling of the Spirit within you. Yield yourself to Him. Tell Him how you cannot do this only in Christ with His blessings. You see, the godly woman gladly follows the leadership of her husband, helping him to take dominion over the earth through joyful gospel outreach. And what I mean by that is your whole life is rejoicing in what Christ has done, seeing the power of gospel in your life, passing it on to your children, and being a family that you look around and you're concerned for the world about you. And what are we doing as a family to reach neighbors and friends and loved ones, you see? What are we doing to help those missionaries way out there? Or what about the home missionaries planting churches around us, you see? If your family lives in light of that, in light of the good news, God will bless your walk together with Christ. It's the fruit of a love for Jesus. Ladies, remember this. Let this be your heart motive. You know that as you follow the word of God, that this will bring honor and glory to your spiritual husband, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be your motive and your love and your desire. In fact, when each one of us submits to God's ordained authority over us, we do the same. We honor the living God. We do so by faith. We honor our God when we walk in humility before Him. We live for the honor of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, you are infinitely wise, and we are so small. We pray that you would grant us the grace and the wisdom to take you at your word. Help us not to try to get out of our duties and responsibilities when these are given to us because you love us. Because you know that ultimate happiness flows out of holiness. You know that joy and purpose and the meaning of life itself flows out of loving, faithful obedience to your word, trusting in Jesus. Lord, we can be fearful. What if I actually do this? What if I actually yield to you in this and therefore submit to the various authorities over me? What will happen to me? Help us to realize that we're okay. The greatest issues and questions have already been answered at the cross. The empty tomb shows us the victory. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so that we might know that you, our Father, approve of Jesus' work, and so we are justified. May we live in this hope of the gospel, Lord. Help us to learn how to practice that and to think on that and to be set free, because our Savior has truly set us free from fear, from worry, from sin. We commit our hearts and our lives and our relationships to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.